I think somebody finally just started humming it, and Jeff doesn't normally work the sound on Sunday. He does sometimes, but most of the time it belongs to Caitlin. She just probably forgot to tell you about that part, didn't she? There, buddy. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? It's good to see everybody here this morning in God's house. It's kind of chilly out there, isn't it? Kind of getting kind of frisky. Makes you want to go do something, don't it? Well, it does me anyway. Have you ever wondered? I have, about this one thing. I wondered why God even bothered making me. I got to thinking about this and praying about it. I said, what is so special about me and my life that God would take the time to make sure that I'm here? That I'm a part of this, not just this church, but my personal family and the world. I prayed about it and I said, what makes me so special? And I just got into the Word, and the one thing that kept resonating back to me was because He loved me. It was because of love that God made me. And it's because of love that He created you. You see, God, He wanted to have somebody to fellowship with. So He made each and every one of us in His image so that He could talk to us and we could talk back to Him, that He could share His characters, what God is all about with us, and we could have the same attributes that He has. That when He shares love with us, that we will know what true love is and how to share it with others. In the scripture, in Ephesians 1:4, it says, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, this is the one that always gets me. It says, three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And I always stopped right there, and I would ponder on that one thing. That one length, but the least of these, but the greatest of these is love. And then just right after that, if you just read just a little bit more, we're kind of guilty about picking out verses and not reading the whole chapter, right? We get what we want out of it. We go, oh, that's it. That's what that means. But in the very next verse, He said, let love be your highest goal. Your highest goal. Whatever you've got going on, make sure that love is at the top of the list. Not in the middle, not three quarters down, and for sure not at the last. But the first thing, your highest thing of everything you do, love should be the reason that you do it. You know, He created us so He could share His love with us. You know, and I got to thinking about that. You know, He must be spreading Himself mighty thin if He's loving all of us the same. Because we're all individuals, and we all have our own personalities. But the scripture says He's got enough for everybody. There's no limit to it. There's no bottom to the bucket that He pours His love out of. It's just full all the time. He is full of love and mercy and grace, wisdom and power. And He wants us to love Him in return for all that He's given us. You know, His love to me is a personal thing. When I think of true, pure love, I think about the love that I have with my wife. It's a personal thing between me and her. It's not, nobody else is involved. When I say I love my wife, it's a personal thing to me. Well, God, when He says, I love you, it's personal. It's personal to me. He's talking to me. I know he's talking to you, but I take it personally that God says, I love you. That is an intimate thing that happens only between us and God. That other religions, they don't get to even have anything like it, to where they have a personal relationship with their God. Love is what motivates everything that God does. If it's for you, it's because he loves you that he is allowing this or that to go on in your life. If he blesses you, it's because he loves you. If he brings things into your life that aren't so good, it's because he loves you, and that's what you need in your life at that time. You know, the world's view of love is kind of what Hollywood's got. When they talk about love and they say, I love you, it means I love you until I change my mind. I love you unless I just fall out of love with you. I love you as long as it's convenient and I don't have to work so hard for it. I love you till it's all used up, or I change my mind. That kind of love is fleeting and it's fickle, and it has nothing to do with the pure love that God has for us, because it never, ever fails. God loves us because that's who he is. It's his nature. It's everything that God is love. Knowing that I'm the object of his love, knowing that he loves me personally, individually. I know that he loves y'all. I know that for a fact. But I'm talking about me here. When I know that I'm the object of his love and that he sent his son to die for me, it changes the way that I look at God. It tells me who God really is and helps me to understand him better. I realize that somebody really wants me, that they really care about me and what happens to my life. And it's someone that really loves me, that has taken the time to adopt me into his family. Now, I wasn't born into God's family. If you're a part of God's family, you weren't either. You were adopted. Does that mean that he loves you any less than he loves the Jews? No. God just don't operate that way. When he loves you all the way. He wants you to have the best. He wants to give you the very best. You know, what father would tell his son when his son asked for something and he'd say, son, I'm going to give you half of what you're asking for. You don't deserve to be called my son. I'm only going to give you this or that. You ask for a truck, I'm going to give you a bicycle. That's not the way God operates. God gives 100% to the ones that he loves. We are all adopted and part of the same family of love. And no one can take it away from you. No one can do anything to me to stop God's love from flowing to me. Nothing. You can talk bad about me. You can try to destroy me, but you cannot separate me from God and what he wants best for me. He loved me and wanted me to be a part of his family. And I can never be divorced from his family. We have that going on all the time now where you have a family and all of a sudden you get a divorce. And what do you do with the family that you had? They're lost. Sometimes not, but most time they are. But there is no divorce ever in God's love. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter where you take your life, what trail you go down, you can't stop God's love. You can't stop him from loving you. You can try. You can tell God that you hate him and that you don't want nothing to do with him, but he still loves you in spite of yourself. You know, that gives me a whole new meaning to the word freedom. I'm free to not have to worry about that. I'm free not to have to second guess and say, does he really care about what's going on in my life? When trouble comes, I don't have to go, man, God must have stopped loving me today because this or that has happened. Freedom from that. Freedom in Christ Jesus. No matter what happens to Obamacare, no matter what happens to the United States of America, to the economy, to Israel, to all them little feet up there dancing up there, no matter what happens, it doesn't matter. I know that God is going to take care of me because of one thing. He loves me. All of us, whether we say it or not, we want to be loved. We want to be loved like that. When we're born, there is a hole that only God can fill in our life with his love. When we get older as children, you can even see it in little kids. The sweet little Dickens, you know, you just love them to death. And all of a sudden, just out of the clear blue, they start being a little stinker. You ever notice that? No! And boy, they put that hand down. No! And they wanting to hit you. And you tell them to do something, they go, No. They start defying their parents. It happens young. It happens young. And some of us are still going, no! And still hitting our parents. All right, I'll change the subject. But the thing is, that hole, that void that we have, if we don't fill it with God's love, if we don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to fill it up with something. I promise you. Satan will make sure that he's going to get his fill in. He's got dump truck load of stuff that he wants to put on you. Endless supply. He wants to fill that void. Only when you become a believer and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and your sins have been washed away, then you start to feel God's love and you understand what that is. And that void that you have, the closer you get to him, the more you become like the Lord, Jesus Christ, the more that void is filled. The closer you get. Because what happens is you start acting and talking like Jesus. You start loving people like Jesus did. That's the void I'm talking about. You may be sitting here this morning and you're going, what in the world is he talking about? Void and love. I understand love. You know, I love my dog. I love my horse. I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about a pure, 100% unadulterated love. One that absolutely is so pure that we have a hard time understanding it. That someone could love us that much. And it's free. You can't pay for it. There's nothing that you can do to get it. If it was, you could brag about it. If there was something you could do to receive it, boy, you'd sure brag. You go, well, you know, down there at that church, they say, you know, it's free. But I tell you, I've been able to do this and this, and I'm going to heaven too. I think I'm going to heaven. How many different ways is there to get to heaven? Just one, but that's not what the world says. Oh, no, you can go to Hare Krishna. Oh, ching, 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 ching. You know, those bald-headed guys in the white little ching-a-ching. They got these little bells on their fingers and their toes. And their, yeah, they think that theirs is the right way. Never mind. I'm having too much fun with that one. I better quit before I start. There is only one way to receive that free gift, and that's through Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that loved you enough to lay his life down for you. You know, we say we love each other as Christians. We say we love each other. And we do. But those of us who are not believers, we love with the world's view of what love is. And that's temporary. It's all dependent on your situation. How they treat you. How they react to you. You ever notice that? How everybody loves everybody as long as they're treating me like I want to be treated, right? The minute that they don't treat me right, then automatically, you know, I want to slap them upside the head or hit them with a baseball bat. I don't care whether they live or die. They've hurt me. That's the world's view of love. That's your old nature talking. That's your old nature. The nature of a person who doesn't have the Lord in their heart. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have eternal life and to enjoy that endless supply of love. And he was raised on the third day, and he's alive and well. He's not dead. He's alive. You think this might be an Easter sermon, but it's not. Jesus is alive. How do I know that? How do you know it? You know it because he's in here. You can feel it. You know that he is doing a work in your life. When you want to do something wrong, if you didn't have the Lord in your heart, you'd just do it. There would be no Holy Spirit going, hey, now hold on just a minute. You think you ought to say that? You think you ought to do what you're getting ready to do? Some of us, even as believers, we hear that and we just keep on bullying the head anyway, don't we? How's that work? Usually turns into a stinky situation, don't it? He's alive and well. I just want to say that I'm glad I'm a part of God's family. I'm glad that I'm a part of this family here at Common Ground. I tell you, I look forward to today. Over all the days, I get to see some of you during the week. But the most I get to see of everybody is on this day. And I love seeing my family. I really do. My brothers and sisters, I love them. I just love to see them. It's just like my daughters. I can't seem to get enough of their company. When I get a chance to see them, I'm ready to see them. When I get an opportunity to see my grandkids, I'm ready to see them. Sometimes when they leave, I'm glad to see them go too. If you're not a grandparent, you don't understand that statement. But I'm glad to get to spend the time with them. Well, that's the way it is with God's family. You're glad to see each other. You want the best for each other. And you want to give yourself and think of them before you think of yourself. Glad I'm part of this family. If you're not a part of God's family, you can be. It's so easy. Oh man, it's easy. I'm not going to go through it. This sermon has already laid it out what you have to do, but if you're still wondering, come see me after the service. Come find me. Come find Wendell. Come find Mark. Come find Brad. Come find Steve. Anybody who can tell you about how to become a Christian, how to be part of a family to where you can be loved like that. Because God said, I love you. He's talking to me, and I take it personal. How about you? Let's pray.